Little time to adjust to the gloom. The air was a few degrees cooler than the heat outside, and it had that churchy smell of dust mingling with incense. Alone in God's house, I was acutely aware of the irreverent flap of my sandals as I walked up the steps to the raised chancel. I was staring at the giant, impassive face of Jesus, praying that my grades were going to be okay, when suddenly, magically, the apse filled with light. Spinning around, I was startled to see a lanky guy, about my own age, standing beside a box on the wall where you could put a coin in to turn the lights on. Damp brown hair swept back from his face. He was even more inappropriately dressed than me, in running shorts, a vest and trainers. There was a moment when we could have smiled at one another, or even said something, but we missed it, as we both self-consciously turned our attention to the huge dome of golden mosaic, and the light went out again with a loud clunk, as decisively and unexpectedly as it had come on. I glanced at my watch in the ensuing dimness, as if to imply that I would like to give the iconic image more serious consideration, perhaps even contribute my own minute of electricity, if I wasn't already running late. As I reached the door, I heard the clunk again, and looking up at Christ's solemn, illuminated features, felt as if I disappointed him. Dol was fully coiffed and painted by the time I arrived back at the campsite. "What was it like?" she asked. "Byzantine, I think," I said. "Is that good?"
"Beautiful."
After cappuccinos and custard buns, amazing how even campsite bar snacks are delicious in Italy, we packed up and decided to go straight down into town to the central post office, where I could make an international call and get my results so that wouldn't be hanging over us all day. Even if the news was bad, I wanted to hear it. What I couldn't deal with was the limbo state of not knowing what the future held for me. So we walked down to the Centro Storico, with me chattering away about everything except the subject that was preoccupying me. The fear was so loud in my head when I dialed our number, I felt as if I'd lost the ability to speak. "Mum," answered after one ring. "Hope's going to read your results to you," she said. "Mum!" I cried, but it was too late. My little sister Hope was already on the line.
"Read your results to you," she said.
"Go on then."
"A, B, C," she said slowly, like she was practicing her alphabet.
"Isn't that marvellous?" said Mum.
"What?"
"You've got an A for English, B for art history, and C for religion and philosophy." "You're kidding." I'd been offered a place at University College London conditional on my getting two B's and a C, so it was better than I needed. I ducked my head out of the Perspex dome to give Dol the thumbs up. Down the line, Mum was cheering, then Hope joined in. I pictured the two of them standing in the kitchen beside the knick-knack shelf with the plate that said, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." Dol's suggestion for a celebration was to blow all the money we had left on a bottle of Spumante at a pavement table on Piazza Signoria. She had more money than me from working part-time in the salon while she was doing her diploma, and she'd been hankering for another outside table ever since Venice, where we'd inadvertently spent a whole day's budget on a cappuccino in St. Mark's Square. At 18, Dol already had a taste for glamour. But it was only 10 o'clock in the morning, and I figured that even if we stretched it out, we would still have hours before our overnight train to Calais, and probably headaches. I'm practical like that.
"It's up to you," said Dol, disappointed. "It's your celebration." There were so many sights I wanted to see. The Uffizi, the Bargello, the Duomo, the Baptistery, Santa Maria Novella.
"You mean churches, don't you?" Dol wasn't going to be fooled by the Italian names. Both of us were brought up Catholic, but at that point in our lives, Dol saw church as something that stopped her having a lion on Sunday, and I thought it was cool to describe myself as agnostic, although I still found myself quite often praying for things. For me, Italy's churches were principally places not so much of God, but of culture. To be honest, I was pretentious, but I was allowed to be because I was about to become a student. After leaving our rucksacks and left luggage at the station, we did a quick circuit of the Duomo, taking photographs of each other outside the golden baptistery doors, then navigated a backstreet route towards Santa Croce, stopping at a tiny artisan...